Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, February 1st, 2022. Coming up this hour,
a two-day rally pairs the worst month for stocks since the depths of the pandemic.
UBS shares surge as earnings beat estimates. Alphabet reports next.
Moderna's COVID vaccine gets full FDA approval for adults.
And the calls for Prime Minister Boris Johnson to step down grow louder.
New York's mask mandates remain in place for now. Plus, New York Mayor Adams says he's focusing on climate justice. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Easy win for the Knicks. The Devils lost, and Tom Brady refutes the report. He's decided to retire.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are moving lower this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 12 points, Dow futures down 75, and NASDAQ futures down 26. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.7%. The 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 1.75%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, let's dig a little deeper into these markets. Now, January was a rough month for U.S. stocks, but they wrapped up the month with the biggest two-day rally in more than 20 months. Let's get more now from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Beaten down technology shares powered a late rebound. The S&P 500 rallied almost 2% for its best back-to-back performance since April of 2020, pairing a monthly loss that at one point exceeded 10% to 5.3%, still the worst drop since the pandemic bear market. The NASDAQ 100's rebound was even sturdier, with a 6.6% surge in two sessions. Its members took such a walloping for most of the month that it still ended down 8.5%, the worst since December of 2018. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And despite the late gains, January hit many traditional investors pretty hard. We get the details live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. The 60/40 portfolio suffered its worst monthly loss since the start of the pandemic. The Bloomberg 60/40 index, which is a split between equities and bonds, dropped 4.2% in January. Equity and bond prices both saw sharp declines last month as markets priced in faster rate hikes from the Fed. And now it's all about how far the Fed tightens policy and how much inflation, growth, and corporate earnings slow as a result. So stay tuned for more on the central bank when we speak to Philadelphia Fed President Patrick Harker. He'll be a guest on Bloomberg Surveillance coming up at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, looking forward to that, Renita. Thank you. Now, earnings will continue to be a focus as well today with two dozen companies in the S&P 500 reporting. Alphabet headlines the list. Let's get the preview from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
The parent company of Google expected to report strong growth in online advertising, along with continued growth from ads in its YouTube video channels and at its cloud computing unit. Forecast call for total revenue of $71.8 billion, with over $58 billion of that from Google search ads, and earnings at $27.35 a share. Shares of Alphabet up about 47% in just the last 12 months. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thank you. In Europe, shares of UBS are up more than 6.5%. Switzerland's largest bank posted earnings that topped estimates. CEO Ralph Hamers says UBS is also working to retain talent.
We pay competitively, we pay for performance, we have the talent to make our plan, and to the extent we need to pay up, we will do so, as we have done so last year.
CEO Ralph Hamer says UBS will buy back as much as $5 billion of shares this year, almost doubling its total buyback program.
Oil's in focus this morning as well, Karen, trading near a seven-year high ahead of this week's OPEC Plus meeting. Stephen Schork, president of the Schork Group, says prices will head even higher this summer.
I would expect to see a pullback. We're going into the weakest demand part of the season as refiners retool. But as demand begins to pick up spring and into summer, 30% probability we will be over $100 a barrel here in the U.S.
Oil strategist Stephen Shork says Russia and OPEC are in no hurry to bring back full production. Checking prices now, they're moving lower on the session with NYMEX crude down 0.9% or 82 cents at $87.32 a barrel. Brent is down 1% at $88.40.
Turning to the pandemic now, Nathan, Moderna has reached a long-awaited milestone. The company's COVID vaccine has received full approval from the FDA for people 18 and older. The shot had previously been available to adults under an emergency use authorization.
Well, at the same time, Karen, COVID restrictions could pull meat off the shelves at your grocery. Truckers protesting pandemic restrictions are stranding shipments of beef coming from Canada into the U.S. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
150 loads are holding at the Coots, Alberta border with Montana. Current mandates require the truckers to be vaccinated, and some of them have set up blockades to stop the flow in. This comes at a time when both sides of the border worry about supply chain and concern about what this could do to the cost of beef to consumers and damage to truckers and their loads if they can't finish. It is not clear what provincial or federal authorities are doing, if anything. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And thank you. Meantime, in Europe, the political fallout from Partygate continues. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson is again under fire from members of his own Conservative Party. Let's go to London now and get the latest live with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Ewan, good morning.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Another day, another apology from the UK Prime Minister. Boris Johnson facing fresh anger after the publication of an official report into lockdown-breaking parties at Downing Street. It said there were, quote, failures of leadership and judgment at the top of his government, and there were events that should not have been allowed to take place. As the Prime Minister said, he would fix things at Westminster. The Metropolitan Police confirmed it is now investigating 12 lockdown gatherings in government buildings, including in Johnson's own apartment. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Ewan, thanks. Turning to corporate news now, Bloomberg News has learned the Federal Trade Commission will handle the antitrust review of Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard. The review will focus on the combination of Activision's gaming portfolio with Microsoft's consoles and hardware systems.
And Nathan, the New York Times is buying Wordle. Wordle is a word-guessing game that has had a meteoric rise online. The game has millions of daily users, and it's part of the New York Times plan to increase digital subscriptions. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 24 degrees in Central Park. Here's a five-letter word for you. Crash. There's a truck crash on the westbound Gowanus headed to Hamilton Avenue. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York's requirement that masks be worn in schools and businesses that don't screen for vaccination will remain in place while a state court considers a challenge to it. The New York State Supreme Court ruling comes after a brief whipsaw last week that saw the mask mandate upended by a Long Island judge before being temporarily reinstated the next day. Governor Kathy Hochul's administration imposed the mandate in December in response to rising COVID-19 cases. A wake will be held today for the second NYPD officer killed in an ambush in Harlem last month. Services will be held for Wilbert Mora, who was 27. New York City Mayor Eric Adams announced an environmental team to lead climate policy for the city. Adams says he will focus on what he called climate justice and address recent extreme weather events.
We saw the storm where we lost several New Yorkers based on the storm. We know the challenges that are facing us as we cycle off of fossil fuel and move in another direction.
Mayor Adams, the government has rested in the fraud trial of attorney Michael Avenatti in Manhattan federal court. Prosecutors allege Avenatti stole nearly $300,000 in book proceeds allotted to retired porn star and former client Stormy Daniels. Avenatti, acting as his own attorney, says he hasn't decided yet if he will testify.
From time to time, you know, I examine what evidence is in and what evidence is not, and what the government has proven and what they haven't, and then ultimately I make a decision.
Attorney Avenatti says he didn't do any of the misdeeds the government alleges in the trial. Justice Stephen Breyer's retirement announcement prompted President Biden to make good on his campaign promise to name a black woman to the nation's highest court. White House spokesperson Jen Psaki pointed out that two Republican presidents were first in being specific in their justice searches.
President Reagan promised the country he would nominate the country's first woman to serve on the court, and he did so. Former President Trump also promised to choose a woman just over a year ago, and there was no such complaint from the voices on the right who are speaking out now.
Spokesperson Jen Psaki, as a new ABC Ipsos poll found that 76% of Americans feel the president should consider all qualified candidates. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshower.
Hi, good morning, Nathan. Knicks just had a tough three-game road trip, lost all three. They've got a five-game West Coast trip starting this weekend. In between, a couple of home games and a rare easy win at the Garden, 116-96 over Sacramento. Alec Burks, the high man, 21 points. Evan Fournier got the Knicks going with 16 in the first quarter. It'll be tougher tomorrow against John Morant and Memphis. Morant scored 37 last night, but the Grizzlies lost in overtime in Philadelphia. The Sixers won despite not playing their star, Joel Embiid. Celtics beat the Heat by 20. Warriors won in Houston. Steph Curry scored 40. Devils blew a 4-2 third-period lead, lost in Toronto 6-4. Austin Matthews the hat-trick for the Leafs. Devils went 3-9 in January. Tom Brady said last night he may retire. He may not, but on his podcast, he insisted that decision has not yet been made. Brady said he was enjoying a quiet weekend until the ESPN report on Saturday that his career was over. Brian Daboll introduced as the Giants' 20th head coach. He got high marks for his work with Josh Allen in Buffalo. His new quarterback is Daniel Jones.
Look, we're not going to make any predictions, and I wouldn't do that to Daniel or really any player. I don't think that's fair to compare him to another guy that I was working with. You know, he's himself. We're going to find out what he does well. We're going to try to implement a system that suits him. And then it's our job to bring pieces in that help him to be the best version of himself and the best quarterback for us.
Daboll said he was impressed. Jones ventured through Saturday's snowstorm to work out. Reportedly, Daboll bringing offensive line coach Bobby Johnson with him from Buffalo, and Patrick Graham will continue as defensive coordinator unless he gets a head coaching job. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. S&P futures now down 7 points. Dow futures down 43. NASDAQ futures lower by 3 points. The 10-year up 5/32. The yield 1.75%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11.3, a weather. Clouds will increase today. We'll get in the mid-30s. Cloudy low 40s tomorrow. Afternoon rain on Thursday with a high near 50 degrees. Currently, 24 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are extending a rally as Federal Reserve officials caution against disruptive policy tightening and U.S. companies signal another strong earnings season. U.S. stock index futures erased their gains in line with volatile moves seen over the past several days. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down about 13 points. Dow futures down 73, NASDAQ futures down 21. The DAX in Germany is up 0.8%. The 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.75%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.16%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1% or 86 cents at $87.31 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6% or $10.50 at $18.06.90 an ounce. The euro, 1.1260 against the dollar. British pound, 1.35. The yen's at 114.71. And Bitcoin this morning moving lower at $38,100. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Senators negotiating a sanctions package intended to deter a Russian invasion of Ukraine said that they're optimistic they'll resolve lingering disagreements and strike a deal this week. Meanwhile, Russia accused the West of whipping up tensions over Ukraine and said the U.S. had brought pure Nazis to power in Kiev. U.S. regulators are said to be urging drug maker Pfizer to apply for emergency authorization for a two-dose regimen of its COVID-19 vaccine for children 6 months to 5 years old. The Biden administration aims to clear the way for the shots as soon as late February. In the NBA, the Knicks, Celtics, and Warriors won. In the NHL, the Devils lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak as we get ready to embark on the trading month of February. Patrick Armstrong joins us now, Chief Investment Officer at Plurimi Wealth. Before we do, Patrick, let's look back at January. What a wild ride. What's in store?
With January, there weren't many places to hide. If you were a traditional investor, you saw equities down 5 to 7%, and bonds, treasuries, corporate bonds, all of those were down about a couple of percent. Gold was almost down 2%. So if your mandate was long only, you struggled. You had to have some allocation to basically industrial commodities or energy were the places to hide in January. And I think once we get into February, it's going to be driven by earnings, the equity market. It's really been driven by the outlook for the Fed, how many hikes are coming in 2022. And I think that's really led to a contraction of the high multiple stocks in January. I think that probably continues. But the companies that are reporting earnings, that are beating, raising expectations, I think as long as they are producing earnings already, those are the kind of companies you can feel comfortable to buy in February.
So what kind of further resetting are you expecting for equities? Do you have targets in mind?
I think the S&P will probably end the year higher. So we're off to a weak start, obviously down around 6%. But I think it'll reclaim that and probably do another 5 or 6% from here. So maybe 10% up by year end. And it's going to be driven by earnings growth. So the economy is still growing. We expect the U.S. economy to grow at 4%. Companies are buying back shares to engineer some EPS growth. And consumption is a big tailwind for equity earnings. We think that continues with the economy continuing to reopen. And pent-up demand is still a theme that's going to play out this year.
Is there a risk that a tighter Fed eats into that earnings growth view for you?
There's a risk of it, and it's a risk I'm aware of, but it's a risk I don't think is going to be that material. I think the Fed is very aware of the implications of every hike they do. I think they'll be measured, and I think they will hike four times. I expect it'll be four times this year, but the economy should be able to handle that. That still leaves interest rates at a very accommodative level as we exit 2022. So I don't think that should disrupt economic growth. I think inflation probably is peaking now, and the Fed will be able to comfort themselves that they're doing enough as they see inflation prints start to come down, still way above their targets. But I don't think we're in an environment where the Fed is really going to want to provoke a recession.
Let's dig a little deeper into your view on earnings. How do you see the earnings backdrop right now? Which sectors look more attractive?
It's broad-based. Any stock that's selling to a consumer, especially an affluent consumer, I think the luxury stocks looks very good. You saw very strong results from LVMH and Richemont in Europe. I think there's just so much disposable income there, and they're almost inelastic demand. So these companies can charge what they want. We've recently added LVMH, and that's not going to change. Those stocks trade at premium multiples, but the earnings just continually improve. They buy back shares and generate massive returns on equity. So that's probably our preferred segment right now.
It's been interesting as well to see sort of the divergence lately between U.S. stocks and European. Do you expect that to continue? Do overseas shares look more attractive right now?
To me, they look more attractive. They're always cheaper than American shares, and that's given, I suppose, they don't have the technology waiting where the premium multiples are really justified in the U.S. But we've got a Fed who's leaning hawkish. We've got an ECB who's meeting this week, and they're going to remain dovish. I don't know if the ECB hikes once this year. If they do hike, it'll be a small hike in December. So we've got a big policy divergence that should lead to a stronger dollar. The weaker euro should be a benefit for the multinational companies domiciled in Europe that have dollar revenues. So I like the attractive valuation in Europe and the more accommodative monetary policy.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Patrick, but are you looking for more volatility in the month of February? And if so, how do you take advantage?
I think there's bound to be volatility because the Fed is moving from quantitative easing to quantitative tightening, and it just is moving from an environment where that suppresses volatility to probably one where it enhances it. So as long as you've got a firm view on assets that you like, the market's going to present opportunities to buy those assets. And without a recession, I don't think we go into a bear market. So you don't want to buy every dip the way you did in previous years, but significant drawdowns on good companies, I think, will present opportunities.
Thanks for this, Patrick. Good having you on with us this morning. Patrick Armstrong, Chief Investment Officer at Plurimi Wealth. Looking at markets at the moment, we are continuing to see the divergence between U.S. and European shares. S&P futures are down 12 points. Dow futures down 86. NASDAQ futures down almost 15 points. Germany's DAX, the CAC in Paris, up about 0.7%. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by The Breakers. This winter, a warm welcome awaits you. The Breakers is committed to making your stay even better with exceptional experiences, gracious service, and unparalleled seaside glamour. To learn more, visit TheBreakers.com today.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower this morning to begin the new month. The S&P 500 is coming off a two-day rally, but January was still the worst monthly loss since the depths of the pandemic. Tech has been hit hardest, and some money managers say it's a buying opportunity. Sarah Hunt at Alpine Woods Capital says chip makers are a particular bargain right now.
You've got some 15 times earnings stocks in some of the chip makers. You've got some of the chip equipment makers that are cheaper now, too, than they were before. And I think that there's some real growth ahead because you're going to continue to move where we're making semiconductors. So I think that there's a long runway for some of these stocks to grow. And I think that that is what people are going to be looking for as we go forward.
Overall, Sarah Hunt at Alpine Woods sees the tech sector bouncing back from these levels.
Well, when it comes to traditional diversified portfolios, Karen, January hit investors pretty hard. Let's get more live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. The 60/40 portfolio suffered its worst monthly loss since the start of the pandemic. The Bloomberg 60/40 index, the split between equities and bonds, dropped 4.2% in January. Equity and bond prices both saw sharp declines last month as markets priced in faster rate hikes from the Fed. And now it's all about how far the Fed tightens policy and how much inflation, growth, and corporate earnings slow as a result. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, on the earnings front, Alphabet, GM, and ExxonMobil are among two dozen companies in the S&P 500 reporting today. In Europe, shares of UBS are up 6%. The Swiss bank boosted its stock buyback program after reporting earnings that topped estimates.
Across the pond today, Karen, it's all about politics. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson is again under fire from members of his own Conservative Party. A report into partying at Downing Street during lockdowns is taking aim at failures of leadership at the top of Johnson's government.
And in corporate news, Nathan, the New York Times is buying Wordle. Wordle is a word guessing game that has had a meteoric rise online. The game has millions of daily users, and it's part of the New York Times' plan to increase digital subscriptions. Futures this morning again moving lower. S&P futures are down 10 points, Dow futures down 62, and NASDAQ futures down 5. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 1.75%. Yield on the two-year, 1.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.75% or 66 cents at $87.49 a barrel. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. We're at 23 degrees in Central Park and still dealing with that tractor-trailer crash on the westbound Gowanus at Hamilton Avenue. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York's mask mandate will remain in effect while the state appeals a ruling from a lower court judge overturning it. The decision from an appellate panel of judges follows an appeals court judge's decision last week, temporarily restoring it the day after the initial ruling overturning it. The state's health commissioner had reinstated the mask mandate in December, but it has now been extended to February 10th. New York City Mayor Eric Adams announced three veteran environmental policymakers to lead climate policy for the city and focus on what he called climate justice.
There's also a challenge that people ignore. We ignore as we built out our economy and built out new jobs, we are leaving too many New Yorkers behind.
Adams pointed to the need to address recent extreme weather events and rising sea levels. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken will speak by phone today as diplomatic efforts continue to reduce tensions over Ukraine. U.S. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield says that Russia's growing military force of more than 100,000 troops along Ukraine's borders was the largest mobilization in Europe in decades. President Biden.
Today, in the United Nations, we've laid out the full nature of Russia's threat to Ukraine's sovereignty and the territorial integrity of Ukraine, as well as the core tenets of a rule-based international order.
President Biden, Michael Avenatti has wavered on whether he plans to take the witness stand in his own defense at a fraud trial in which he is accused of stealing $300,000 in book proceeds from porn actor Stormy Daniels. Avenatti is acting as his own attorney.
I am completely innocent of these charges, and I hope the jury sees it that way.
The government rested its case against Avenatti in federal court in Manhattan. He is expected to put on the bulk of his defense case today. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. A rare easy win for the Knicks. Not surprising. Sacramento has lost seven in a row. Knicks outscored the Kings in all four quarters. One at the Garden, 116-96. Alec Burks, 21 points. Knicks host a much better team, Memphis, tomorrow. Then go back on the road for five straight games. Devils lost their fifth in a row, 6-4 in Toronto. The hat trick for Austin Matthews as the Leafs came from 4-2 down in the third period. Rangers home tonight for the Florida Panthers, and St. John's tonight hosts Providence, who's in first place in the Big East. Tom Brady said he was enjoying a quiet weekend until the ESPN report on Saturday that he had decided to retire. It was shot down by his agent, his father, and the Tampa Bay Bucks, and then last night by Brady himself on his podcast.
I think I just said I'm going to take it, you know, day by day. It really is. I'll take it by the moments and figure out when. You know, I feel really confident to allow people to, you know, who I understand my decision affects a lot of people's lives. So when that decision comes, it'll come.
He's still trying to evaluate things. 46-year-old Brian Daboll introduced as the 20th head coach of the Giants.
It was a dream come true. You're talking about the New York Giants. And I understand the challenges with that. And it's just a great opportunity that was afforded to me and my family. We look forward to it. You know, we've been working here for 2 days. We got a long way to go here. But just a historic franchise. And I look forward to being part of it.
If nothing else, it was pretty clear yesterday. Daboll a little more affable and media-friendly than his three most recent predecessors, all of whom were fired during or after their second season on the job. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Manhattan's retail rents have fallen by the most in 5 years, with the biggest decline in Times Square. Average asking rents slid by around 14% in the fourth quarter from a year earlier across the borough's prime shopping districts. According to Jones Lang LaSalle, Times Square rents tumbled 37%. An Icelandic low-cost airline is launching ticket sales for flights to New York. Play's first flight there will be June 9th. Play will fly to New York Stewart International, making it the only airline to operate international flights from that airport. Online betting companies are pushing promotional credits as big as $1,000, reeling in first-time bettors. More than 1.1 million accounts were created in New York in the first 2 weeks of legalization, according to GeoComply Solutions. 90% of the players are new to regulated digital sports betting. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on 1010 Wins in New York, we're talking about the New York Times buying popular daily word game Wordle.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Lowe's looks to entice contractors with an expanded loyalty program.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on Boris Johnson and whether he can overcome the damning initial findings on parties held at Downing Street in lockdown.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting General Motors reports earnings today after a rough fourth quarter of sales.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has ushered in 2022 with a barrage of missile launches, 11 so far. The country has also threatened to restart tests of long-range missiles that could reach the United States. It's understandable that U.S. President Joe Biden would want to downplay this issue, which bedeviled his predecessors and shows little promise of resolution. But ignoring the North Korean leader only gives him more time to improve his arsenal. The White House should be laying the groundwork now for a re-energized approach, working closely with allies in South Korea and Japan. With his missile tests, Kim is seeking to strengthen his leverage. The U.S. should do no less. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. And terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Seeing a little bit of a shift in the markets now. S&P futures are still down by 6 points. Dow futures down 39. But NASDAQ futures have turned a touch higher. Right now, they're up about 5 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 6/32. The yield 1.75%. And the yield on the 2-year right now 1.16%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, increasing cloudiness today with a high near 35 degrees. Clouds tomorrow, low 40s. We'll have afternoon rain and a high near 50 on Thursday. Right now, 24 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks rallying while U.S. stock index futures are moving lower this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 11 points. Dow futures down 68. NASDAQ futures down 17. The DAX in Germany is up about 1%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32. Yield 1.75%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.16%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 35 cents at $87.80 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.7% or $11.60 at $18.08 an ounce. The euro 1.1258 against the dollar. British pound 1.3499. The yen's at 114.69. And Bitcoin this morning is at $38,290. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Russia said it has yet to respond to written proposals delivered last week by the U.S. and NATO as Western countries continue their diplomatic press to deter Moscow from attacking Ukraine. President Vladimir Putin meets today with Hungarian leader Viktor Orban, while U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken will speak by phone with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. The chief medical examiner who ruled George Floyd's death a homicide will return to the stand today at the trial of three former Minneapolis police officers charged with violating Floyd's civil rights. In the NBA, the Knicks, Celtics, and Warriors won. In the NHL, the Devils lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. We're coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to get to the latest on the pandemic now. For that, we're joined by Dr. Stuart Ray, Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Dr. Ray, it's good to have you back with us this morning on a morning where we're seeing a lot more developments when it comes to authorization of vaccines. We got the full FDA approval for Moderna's shot yesterday, and now there are reports that FDA regulators are urging Pfizer to apply for approval of its shot for kids under five. How close are we to getting that approval, and what difference would it make for this pandemic?
Well, I think in the next phase of this pandemic, we need to be thinking about how we have a long-term strategy, and it's really got to be to protect people from complications at all ages. And so vaccinating kids is an important part of that strategy.
What further steps in that strategy are you looking at?
Well, I think that we need greater access to medications to mitigate the harms of COVID infections or the people who develop severe infection. It's very clear that even with Omicron, vaccination or some form of strong immunity is necessary to protect against disease. And so we need to make sure that as many people are protected as possible. The current rate of death is devastating. And even if we get toward an endemic state where we have a stable rate of coronavirus, the problem is if that rate is high, then that may not be an acceptable endemic state, and we're going to need to find ways to mitigate harms. And we do have the tools, but we need a concerted effort to use them, things like masks and vaccination, and that's still not where we are.
When do you think we'll get there, and are we still at a point where we could see the health system overwhelmed by coronavirus, even with the level of vaccination that we're at?
Yeah, I think that the vaccination we're at was achieved too many months ago. And until we have vaccines that provide us really sustained immunity to the current variant, we're going to need to keep on innovating. So we are going to be catching up because we really didn't do a great job of getting there in the first place. We had too much division about vaccination and other tools, and we're too slow to get prepared. And so now we're playing catch up, and that's going to take some time to really get to a point where we are robust against the disruption. So things look good now. The rates in many states are dropping as Omicron's wave abates, but there's a very good chance we'll be getting pie for dessert.
I want to ask you about this new Omicron variant that's starting to get more attention, BA2. What do we know about it?
Well, BA2 is a cousin of the Omicron variant BA1 that we're so familiar with. It was found around the same time in southern Africa, where the scientists there discovered the Omicron variant. And it circulated in Philippines and some other countries, India, and then sort of blasted through Denmark. It was seen in the UK and here, and it does have a lot of features that are different from the BA1 variant that we've seen. It appears to be more infectious, and because it has different features, it poses some additional challenges for the immune system. Fortunately, it's likely that Omicron immunity, once people have been infected with that, will provide some immunity to BA2 as well. That seems to be greater if someone's had a more severe infection. Mild infections don't seem to provide so much convalescent immunity. And so we may be seeing signs that we're not done with this yet and that more variants are likely to be on the way. That's just the nature of letting lots of people get infected. The virus will continue to evolve.
All right. Well, as always, Dr. Ray, thank you for your insights. Dr. Stuart Ray is Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. Karen.
Nathan, it is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Virgin Galactic space flights will not be taxed by the state of New Mexico. State lawmakers decided that a levy on space tourism tickets would send the wrong message about the state's business climate. Federal bankruptcy judge Martin Glenn will take over as the next chief judge of the U.S. Bankruptcy Court in the Southern District of New York. He begins his 5-year term in March. Fast food workers in California would get additional health, safety, and employment protections under a bill passed by the state assembly and sent to the Senate.
Bloomberg
Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching. California lawyer Michael Avenatti gained a national profile when he represented adult film star Stormy Daniels in a civil lawsuit against former President Trump. Now Avenatti and Daniels are on opposite ends of the courtroom. Daniels is accusing him of stealing $300,000 by intercepting advance payments for a book deal. Daniels is the prosecution's star witness, and Avenatti, who is representing himself, got a chance to grill his former client on cross-examination. For more on the case, June Gross also speaks to Bloomberg legal reporter Eric Larson.
So you have Avenatti cross-examining his former client. It must have been high drama in the courtroom just to see that.
Yeah, it was pretty bizarre when you think about the falling out that these two had. I mean, Avenatti spent a lot of time, you know, several years ago telling Americans they needed to believe this woman, that she had a pretty salacious tale to tell about Donald Trump. And they really were trying to take the president down based on her word. And now he's here telling this jury that she's a liar and can't be trusted. So he used his cross-examination to try to pull out various times that he thinks showed that she had been untruthful about various things, and also questioned her about various times that she had accused other people of stealing from her. I think he was trying to sort of suggest that she was paranoid and accused people of theft frequently, that sort of thing. But it really was a bizarre questioning because Stormy Daniels is a pretty interesting character. She is working on a TV show about the paranormal activities. So she's on record telling her viewers and fans and things like this that she can see ghosts, that she can see into people's houses, basically through their walls, that she is even in communication with a haunted doll. So he was trying to obviously make her look a little bit bonkers, and wanted the jury to see that she can essentially make things up a lot, I think is what he was trying to suggest.
And this is not the only criminal case Avenatti has to worry about. There are two other cases.
He's been convicted in another criminal case separate from this. Of course, in 2020, he was convicted of trying to extort Nike out of $25 million on behalf of another client during settlement talks. He was sentenced to 2.5 years for that, and he hasn't even started serving that prison term. Then there was a third criminal case in California where he was accused of ripping off other law firm clients of his, and that ended in a mistrial, although they're going to retry that.
So then is he out on bail while he's here in New York?
Right. He's been basically under home confinement in California for quite some time, staying with a friend in Venice, California. But because of this trial, he's now been allowed to travel and is here for that. But, you know, of course, Avenatti has claimed that all three of these criminal cases, you know, they were brought during the Trump administration, and he claims that he was targeted by Trump's Justice Department specifically because of his lawsuit on behalf of Stormy Daniels.
And that's Bloomberg legal reporter Eric Larson speaking with June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Again, futures are lower this morning. S&P futures down 13 points, Dow futures down 79. NASDAQ futures down 27, and the 10-year Treasury up 4/32. The yield is at 1.76%. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. This is Bloomberg.